Well, praise the Lord. Let's go to the book of Titus tonight. That's in your New Testament, right after the book of Timothy. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. And if you have a pencil and a piece of paper tonight, you may want to jot down the scriptures that we're going to be looking at, take them home and read them, meditate on them, and it will help you. I'm going to go through these scriptures, and I'm not going to wait. I've got a number of them I want to use tonight. But in prayer, I felt like the Lord gave this to me. Titus chapter 2, are you all there? Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Praise God. Some of the commentators that were talking about Titus and Timothy are right close together there. Timothy was one of Paul's sons in the gospel, and he was a young preacher. So it is said that Titus was an older preacher. He was used to help out with the Apostle Paul, went on some journeys with him and had some oversight of other churches. And it was said that Titus was probably more mature than Timothy. And Paul is writing to Titus about some things and has given to us tonight some things that are very strong and very powerful and will help us in our life, will give us order in our lives, because we've got to have order in our life. If you don't have an order to things, if things are not going to an order, and of course there's lots of different orders, but I'm talking about God's order for our life, the Word of God for our lives. Because without God's order, we could end up being a headhunter out in the jungle somewhere. That's their order. That's the way they live. That's how they go through their life. But it's not God's order. It's not God's way. And God's way is perfect. Amen. The word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Commandments of the Lord are wonderful. Amen. So let's pray together tonight. I want to focus on grace for just a little bit and then focus on something else as well. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. I ask you to anoint it, speak to our hearts, touch us. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him thanks for the word of God tonight. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the word of God. Let it get down deep into our hearts tonight, God. We lean on you, Jesus. Amen, amen. You can be seated tonight. When Paul was writing to Titus here, he says here in verse 11, for the grace of God. Everybody said the grace of God. When we look at the grace of God is the favor of God. It is the beginning of all blessings, because without the grace of God, there would be no blessings. There would be no good things that would come to us without the grace of God. And without God's grace, we cannot expect to go anywhere profitable in this life. Amen. But the Bible says that whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And that's the will of God for us. When there is order, there is blessings that come along. And God's grace is his favor. If you please tonight, God's grace is his smile upon us. It is his love that is extended to you and I. Amen. And when grace comes, Paul writes about it here. We could go to other scriptures, and we're going to go to some other scriptures here tonight. But the grace of God that brings salvation. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. And so grace, when it comes, it brings salvation. Jesus Christ came full of grace and truth. Amen. And that grace was extended to us for our salvation. Amen. Through the grace of God and through the salvation that comes through the grace of God, our past is washed away. Now, I've got to say that more than once here tonight, because the devil will come and remind you of your past. Right. Well, praise the Lord. He'll remind you of what you did yesterday. He'll remind you of what happened last week or last month or last year. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He is the accuser of the brethren, and we've read that here recently. And so what we've got to get a hold of tonight in this order for life is an understanding that the grace of God brings salvation. That's not a partial salvation. That's a complete salvation. Amen. It's not a piecemeal situation. But when you repented of your sins, when you were baptized in his name, amen, the past was washed away. And when God filled you with the Holy Ghost, amen, the grace of God right there gave us a tremendous future that the devil cannot take away. Amen. He cannot take it away. He cannot diminish it. He cannot reduce it in any way, because the grace of God is much more powerful than him. Amen. Amen. And so it brings salvation. Our past is washed away, and our future is filled with the promises that we heard about tonight while we were singing. Thank God for those promises. Amen. The past is washed away. The future is secured to us. And so Paul says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. It's for everybody tonight. It's for you. It's for your children. It's for them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, praise God. It's for your co-workers today. It's for the drug addict today. It's for everyone in this whole world. Doesn't matter your culture. It doesn't matter where you're from. Amen. The grace of God brings salvation, and it has appeared to all men. You know what that means? That means that folks in other countries can have salvation just like we can. But you know what? Let's make it more personal here tonight. That means that salvation is for you as an individual. Praise God. He's not going to save somebody over here and leave me behind. He's not going to bless somebody over here and not bless me. For God is no respecter of persons. If we have faith and we reach out to him and obey him, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The grace of God brings salvation to all men, to all women. Amen. To everyone. And so we've got to get a hold of that first of all. And probably that is the main thing that I like to focus on when I'm teaching Bible studies, is the grace of God and the forgiveness that God has for us. The devil will come along and tell you that the grace of God is not enough for you, and that you are never going to get free from what you're battling in your life. I'm telling you tonight, you got to learn not to listen to the devil. You got to learn not to listen to your flesh. You've got to learn not to listen to other people. Amen. What you've got to do is listen for the voice of the Lord. And what I've discovered is when I've fallen, amen, and I go to him in prayer, he's right there to pick me back up. You know why? Because his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Amen. But his anger endureth for but a moment, the Bible says. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. I'm thankful for the grace of God tonight. Amen. And so Paul says it has appeared to all men and it teaches us. And so grace then becomes a teacher to us. And because I have been given grace, now I must live a life that God desires for me. And it is our reasonable service to be separated from this world. Amen. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. That means free of alcohol. Amen. That's literally what it means. Sober and dry. Righteously and godly in this present world. And so there is a denying. Amen. Grace teaches us that we must deny some things. I don't have time to cover all of these here tonight. But separation from this world is very important. It is a Bible doctrine. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Amen. It is our reasonable service tonight that because the grace of God gave us salvation. Now think about this. The grace of God that brought salvation wiped away our past and gave us a beautiful future. It makes no sense whatsoever for us to taste the powers of the world to come, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and to have our sins washed away, only to come up out of the water or to leave the altar and go back out into the world and live the same life that we lived before. It makes no sense whatsoever. Amen. There would be no need for salvation if we could live in our sins. But thank God salvation does not save us in our sins, but it saves us from our sins. Yes, it does. It really does. I don't have to go to the bar room anymore. I don't have to get high anymore. I don't have to tell lies anymore. I don't have to live that life anymore because the grace of God, the favor of God has lifted me up. It has strengthened me and given me this position that I'm in tonight. Amen. We've got to be careful that once we have received the grace of God, that we don't become proud. Amen. And feel like we are better than others because of the high and lofty position that we have been placed. Amen. We are kings and priests here tonight. We are the future kings and priests that will rule and reign with him on this earth for 1,000 years. Well, praise the Lord. The angels desire to look into this great salvation, but they don't have the Holy Ghost like we do. Yes, I'm telling you, they're looking on here tonight and saying, I wished I could praise the Lord like they can praise the Lord. Amen. I wished I could be at the altar and talk in tongues. Amen. And feel the powers of the world to come and be set free and understand the fullness of the grace of God. Amen. We've got something here tonight, church, that is powerful. We've got something that is awesome here tonight, and it's called the grace of God, the favor of God. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. Separation is very important to the Lord. Amen. Because of that, grace teaches us to deny some things. Amen. We don't just deny some things, we embrace some things. We embrace sobriety. We embrace righteousness. We embrace godliness. Amen. And so because we have come out from among them and now we are separate unto the Lord, we can become a peculiar people unto him, which of course is the will of God tonight. Thank God for his grace. Amen. And I can't cover all of this separation from the world, but John wrote of the world, and he said, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of the Father, but of the world, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. And so why would we want to leave that which abides forever and go back to that which is temporary, that which is only here today and gone tomorrow? For that which is seen is temporal, and that which is not seen is eternal. Let's embrace some eternal things. Amen. Amen. I've felt this in my heart for several days now. I made a note of it last week while I was here at the church praying. And I really feel like we've got to get a hold of what it means to have the grace of God. I'm not saying you don't, but I'm just preaching here what I feel like the Lord gave me. Amen. Paul says that we should deny these things do this in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So grace is growing upon us here. The Bible says that we are to grow in the grace of God and in the knowledge of God. Those two things need to go together. And so here we are. It's growing. Grace is growing in these four or five verses here that we read tonight. And so the grace of God gives us an outlook. The grace of God gives us hope. The grace of God gives us a future that we are looking forward to. Amen. I'm not just living for today anymore. I'm not just living for whatever feeling or exciting thing that I can do. Amen. But I've got a future now. Do you feel like you have a future now? Now that you're in God, do you have a future? Before, you didn't have a future, didn't know where you were going, didn't know if you were coming or going, but tonight we've got a future. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. Friend, you've got a future to look forward to, and it's living for God is not just denying worldliness and ungodly things, but it is embracing some things. Yes, we deny those things. We deny ourselves of some things that your flesh would like to do, because we've got a future before us. We've got something so much more important than my job, so much more important than my possessions, so much more important than anything else that I could do in my life. And so I'm not just denying things in this world. I'm embracing some things. Amen. I'm losing a love for one thing and I'm gaining a love for another. Praise God. I'm being translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Amen. Well, praise God. And so it continues to give us more. It gives us an outlook for our future. Amen. And so before grace came to us, we didn't have any hope. The Bible says we were without God in this world. And I'm telling you tonight, when I came to God, and after a number of years of living for God, the horror of horrors in my life would be to wake up one morning and for Him not to be there. I'm telling you what, I don't know how I lived in this world without God. Because without God, there is no hope. Are you listening tonight? Without God, there is no hope. If you don't feel like you have hope tonight, get God in your life. I said, get God in your life. You say, well, I've been going to church for a while. Hey, listen, it doesn't matter if you've been in the church your whole life. There are people sitting on pews that don't have hope. I'm telling you, we've got to get a hold of God if we're going to have the hope that grace is affording to us tonight. Praise God. And so it gives us a hope. It gives us an outlook. Hebrews 11:10, for he looketh for a city, or he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's speaking of Abraham, For they that say such things plainly declare that they seek a country. Amen. And where do I get this hope? I get it through the grace of God that came to me. The grace of God that brought salvation. The grace of God that taught me to be separated from this world is the same grace of God that's going to teach me that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Amen. The very fact that grace came to me is enough to show me and to tell me that there's a better way to go. Amen. There is a better order to life than just living it for myself. Amen. There is a better order to life than just doing what I feel. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. There's a better way to live, and it is to allow the grace of God to teach you and to show you what your future needs to be. Amen. I'm telling you what, I'm glad I'm here tonight. I wouldn't miss a time in the house of God, because I'm telling you why. Heaven could come tonight. Jesus could come tonight. Well, praise the Lord. And one day it's going to happen. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, and forever we're going to be with the Lord. I'm living for that day. I don't know about you. I'm not thinking about today so much. I've got a hope for the future. I've got a hope, praise God. Not just a hope in this life. And we have hope in this life. There's nothing wrong with having hopes in this life. Dreams in this life. The Bible says if we have hope in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most miserable. And so he tells us that we have hope in this life in Jesus Christ. But that is not the extent of it. Amen. Are you listening tonight? Amen. The grace of God that brings salvation teaches us, amen, that there is a great future in this life in God and a great future in the life to come in God. Amen. We have hope in this life. We have hope for a better job. We have hope for relationships. We have hopes for a lot of different things. We may want to buy a home. You may want to make an investment. And we have hope in this life. Amen. And the Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He'll direct your financial path. He'll direct your family. Amen. He'll direct the church. He'll direct you on your job situation. He'll direct you in your life situation. But you've got to check in with God first. In all thy ways acknowledge him. There is hope in God in this life. I'm telling you what, I'm not casual about revival. Amen. I'm teaching Bible studies and I'm reaching out to people. You know why? I have hope. I have hope. And you know the hope that I have is that if God can save a wretched sinner like me, he can save somebody else. And bless your heart, I'm going to get involved in the work of God and do something for God, because I've got hope tonight, hope in this life. Amen. I'm laying up treasures in heaven. Amen. But I'm thankful for my home. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my family. Amen. I'm thankful for everything God has given me. I've got some hope in this life. Young men, you need to get some hope in this life. Don't just meander through this world. Pray and say, God, give me a good job when the time comes. God, give me a good wife when the time comes. We do have hope in this life. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. But thank God it's not just hope in this life. Amen. There's a hope beyond this life. Praise God, there's a heaven to gain. Amen, I've got hope that I'm going to see him one day, and I'm going to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. It makes me come and pray. It makes me push the plate away. It makes me read the Word of God. Why? Because grace has shown me I have hope. I've got hope tonight. Praise God. And we are hoping for that glorious appearing who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all. Everybody said all. Praise God. You need to underline that. Well, that's in my notes, but it's right there in the scriptures, that he might redeem us from all. You need to underline that. You need to highlight that. And it says all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Praise God. Because of the grace of God, which was motivated and is motivated by his love, God gave himself to us. He died because of his grace. Jesus bled and suffered because of the grace of God. He came full of grace and truth to open the door of salvation's grace. Amen. Because God is love. Amen. This act of Calvary opened the floodgate of redemption from iniquity. Amen. We were sold under sin, but Calvary paid the price, and God bought us back and redeemed us. Amen. We were pardoned from all iniquity. Amen. I said all iniquity. You're not so bad that grace can't touch you. You're not so far away that grace cannot touch you. Amen. I don't know how hard I can preach this, but I want to preach it as hard as I can here tonight. It's not the will of God to walk around with your head down. Amen. Saying God hasn't forgiven me. God forgave you when you repented and you were baptized in his name for the remission, the blotting out of all of your sins. Not a one of them was left. Not one Egyptian made it through the water. Amen. Because it was a perfect, it was a complete redemption. Praise God. Lift up your head tonight. Amen. It's not the will of God to have your head down all the time. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got God in my life. Grace has taught me to wake up in the morning. Amen. And go through the day because it's the day that the Lord has made. The devil didn't make it. The devil can't change it. It's the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in this day. Amen. Because of the grace of God. The grace of God. The grace of God. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Grace. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And what a man he was. That he felt like he was the least of the least of the saints. He was beneath the least of the saints. But he was the greatest soul winner that ever walked in shoe leather. He was a man of God. Angels appeared unto him. He received revelations from Jesus himself. Amen. And Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Doesn't give us any room for pride. Doesn't give us any room for a haughty spirit. Doesn't give us any room to feel like we're better than anybody else. Because I am what I am by the grace of God. If you're a prayer warrior, it's because of the grace of God. If you're a preacher that preaches like angels, then it is by the grace of God. Amen. If you pastor a church of a million, it's by the grace of God. If you pastor a church of five, it's by the grace of God. Amen. If you've got lots of money, it's by the grace of God. If you don't have two nickels to rub together, it's by the grace of God. Amen. Everything we have issues and comes forth to us through the avenue of the grace of God. Praise the Lord. All iniquity. All iniquity. Amen. Quit feeling like you're the worst sinner that ever walked on the face of the earth. Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. When it comes to that, I'm the head honcho. I've sinned worse than anybody else. I killed Christians. I troubled the church. I gave all kinds of problems to the church. Amen. And yet he understood, and he wrote to Titus, who was a preacher, amen, who had responsibilities and had the stress of the ministry laid upon his shoulder, and Paul understood that completely, amen, that he would redeem us and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Praise God. A peculiar, that means a one-of-a-kind people. Amen. God's people have always stood out in the crowd. If it's the three Hebrew boys in the Old Testament, or if it is someone in a New Testament church, I'm telling you what, tonight you're going to stick out, and don't worry about it if people separate you from their company. And in fact, Jesus said, if you're persecuted or if you're separated from their company, rejoice, amen, because you are fitting in to where you're supposed to be. Amen. If they separate themselves from you because you're obnoxious, don't blame that on God. Well, I'm being persecuted on the job. No, you're just receiving what you've sowed. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Nobody wants to be around me. Maybe you need to brush your teeth once in a while. It's got nothing to do with your walk with God. Amen. Well, praise God. Somebody smile just a little bit. I'm going to finish here in just a few minutes. But I'm telling you, what we need to understand is that God has made us into a peculiar treasure. That is a one-of-a-kind treasure. Amen. A one-of-a-kind treasure. And that's why you fight the good fight of faith, is because the devil looks at you and he sees what he used to have, and he is as jealous as he can be. He hates it that you stand out, and he wants to put it down. Oh, praise God. We're a peculiar people here tonight, zealous of good works. Everybody said good works. Good works. That's what grace teaches us tonight, that we should be zealous. Amen. That means excited. That means motivated. That means ready to go. Praise God. Zealous of good works. And I've got a number of scriptures here I want to share with you tonight. Amen. But Paul wrote to Titus here, a faithful minister of the Word of God, fellow traveler with Paul, and he gives us the results here in this life of the grace of God that has come to us. It gives us a desire to be zealous of good works. Amen. Jesus admitted that he did good works in John 10 and 32. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" And so there's a number of scriptures here that talk about good works and the grace of God that gives us an understanding of why we should have good works in our life and who it's for and what we should be doing about it. Amen. I don't believe in being lazy for God. I believe that we ought to give ourselves to the work of God. I believe that we should give ourselves in commitment and faithfulness. Amen. And that we should be ready for good works, as the scripture says here. John 10 and 32 is the scripture that I just read. And the good works that Jesus did, of course, was miracles, signs, and wonders. But not only did he do good works, he commanded us to be full of good works. In Matthew 5 and 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Amen. And even the early church was full of good works. In Acts chapter 9, it talks about Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And she was sick and died. They laid her in an upper chamber, and Peter came to pray for her. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Amen. This is not just a spiritual thing of preaching, but good works has something to do with what you do every day in your life. If you know one of your coworkers is having a hard time that day, amen, look for an opportunity to lighten their load a little bit and help them without saying anything or trying to get any kind of recognition. Amen. That's a good work. And it will let the light of God shine through you, and it will bless them, and it will turn their head toward you, because there's not very many people that do that sort of thing. Well, that's not my job. I'm not going to do that. Amen. Well, it may not be your job, but it's an opportunity for a good work. Amen. And we can look around us and see that there are opportunities for good works to bless others and to help others. Amen. God created us in Christ Jesus so that we could do good works in our life. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, walk in the good works. Amen. He put good works in us. We're his workmanship, and he wants us to go and to have good works in our lives as well. Praise the Lord. That's what grace has done for us. It's a good work when God gave us his grace, right? Lifted us up out of sin, put us on the road to heaven, set our feet on the solid rock to stay. Amen. We're blessed tonight because of the grace of God. Why can't we spend a little bit of our time doing good works to bless others? And to show forth the light that God has put into our hearts. Amen. I believe that is the will of God for each and every one of us. And everybody's going to be different, of course, but we were created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of good works. Without good works, we become idle, and many bad things come with idleness of time, which, of course, was one of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, was idleness of time and fullness of bread. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 9. Now, don't get quiet on me. I'm going to touch everybody here tonight. But it says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. That's 60 years old. Having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have become waxed wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And with all they learn to be idle. This is the point of what he's saying here. Wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. And maybe I should have just read that scripture right there. But I'm telling you, back in the days of the church, they actually took widows into the widow, which would have been a man or a woman, and they would care for them over the age of 60 years old. And this was the category of that situation. Amen. But when we are idle and we don't have good works in our lives, I'm telling you, it goes to that kind of a situation where we go from house to house. And you don't have to go house to house physically. We've got phones today where we can go house to house. And we can talk about this, that, and the other. But hear me tonight, folks. We're never going to get any good works done when we're talking about others and we're putting others down and we're pointing out the faults in others. Come on, somebody, help me. I'm praying tonight. I'm praying for God to give us unity and peace in the church. Amen. It's the will of God for there to be unity and peace in the church. Amen. There's a devil in the world, and the world is in the world, but I'm telling you what, the devil's not in the church. Amen. The saints of God are in the church, and we're on our way to heaven. Praise God. And it's not the will of God for us to gossip and to say things that we ought not to be saying. Well, you don't have to amen me, but it's still the Word of God, and it's still true. Amen. Well, I don't like the way Isaac combs his hair. You know what? That's between Isaac and God. And I like the way his hair looks, by the way. All these guys look really good. Amen, and I appreciate that. But I'm telling you what, we can get into so many different avenues and areas that are so carnal and so fleshly that they have nothing to do with eternity, nothing to do with productivity in this life. Amen. The Bible says, let your words be few, because we're going to be judged by the words that we say. We're going to give an account of every idle word that we say. God help us. It makes me tremble because I've been guilty and you've been guilty. Amen. But what we need to do is be zealous of good works. Amen. It's hard to be a busybody when you're busy about other things. And Paul wrote to Timothy about good works, this young, immature preacher. In 1 Timothy 5:24, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. And so we have the opportunity tonight to send our sins forward, or we can let them follow behind us. Amen. I choose to send my sins ahead of me. I choose to go to the altar and repent of my sins and get them taken care of now. Whosoever confesses and forsakes shall have mercy. Whoever covers his sins shall not prosper. We've got to come clean with God. I said we've got to come clean with God. We've got to get down serious with God and say, God, I've got to be close to you. Amen. I need you in my life. And he said, likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand. And so I'm not waiting to get to heaven to do some good works. I'm going to do them down here and let them follow me to heaven. Praise God. I'm going to send them on ahead of time to heaven. I'm going to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt. I'm going to lay up some treasures down here in this life, and that's wise, and it's the will of God. But I'm telling you, I don't have my treasures here in heaven. If the rapture comes today, praise God, I'll shout all the way to heaven. Not worried about what I'm going to lose. Say, well, I'm not either. I don't have anything to lose. Well, praise God. When you start to understand the good works that God wants you to do, it's amazing. Your garage starts filling up real fast. Amen. And you get this and you get that and you get the other. And before you know it, your $50,000 car is parked outside and all your junk is in the garage. And you say, I'm so much more blessed now than I was when I first came to God. I know for myself that is a fact. I didn't have hardly anything when I came to God. I had an old dresser, and I had a bed, and that was just about everything that I owned in this life. But I'm telling you what, I've got more than just a dresser and a bed now. And you say, well, that's not fair. Oh, yes, it is. I'll tell you, when I didn't have anything, that meant that I wasn't doing anything for myself. And I wasn't involved in good works and living the order that God had for me. But over the course of the last 40 plus or maybe 50, close to 50 years, you gain a little here and you gain a little there. You lose a little here and then you gain some more. Come on, somebody help me here tonight. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Amen. It's not where you're at right now that's so important. It's where you're headed. And just start right now. Start tomorrow. And make up your mind you're going to get involved in some good works. Well, praise the Lord. Let's go a little bit further into this. Amen. It's still a little bit early. I'm going to finish here in just a few moments. And this applies to the rich. We read about in 1 Timothy 5 there, but 1 Timothy chapter 6. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they may do good and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. We need to look forward in our world as far as we're able to look and plan ahead. I believe in planning ahead. And the Bible talks about planning ahead. We need to plan ahead for retirement. We need to plan ahead for the future. Amen. We don't need to be living paycheck to paycheck when you're an elderly person. Amen. There needs to be some things that you're laying ahead. Now, don't get quiet on me here tonight. But I'm telling you, this is scriptural. It is the will of God for us and for the rich to lay a good foundation against the time to come. Not being like the man that hit the big harvest, and he said, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger, and I'm going to say to my soul, lay back, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about working for God anymore. Don't worry about anything, just eat, drink, and be merry, and enjoy the fruits of your labor. The Bible does say that we should enjoy the fruits of our labor, but it says lay hold on eternal life. Amen. Don't ever get to the place where your riches choke out the Word of God. The Bible says it is the deceitfulness of riches, amen, that choke out the Word of God. What we must do is lay hold on salvation and lay up store for the future. And the way we lay hold on eternal life as rich, as the rich of this world, is we lay in store, amen, to do good works to others. Jesus said, the poor you have with you always, and the poor are here to temper the rich, not to be the slaves of the rich, not to be abused by the rich, amen, but to temper the rich. Why does God allow those that are crippled and those that are maimed to stay unhealed in the church? I'll tell you why. It tempers those of us who are physically able and physically strong and healthy. It tempers us, amen, to say, if it were not for the grace of God, I could be in a wheelchair. If it were not for God's hand, this could be in my life. And it tempers us. And it teaches us compassion for others who have less than we have. Well, praise God. Because there's only one man in the world that's the richest man in the world. Everybody else is looking up to him. And God help us, I would never want to be the richest man in the world. I never would want to be in that position because of the temptations and all of the things that come along with it. Folks, we've got to do good works. Amen. It's for the rich as well. It's for everybody. I'm spending more time on this because I really felt like the Lord spoke to me about this part of it. Amen. We should prepare ahead so when the opportunity comes, we can do good works. We don't wait for the moment to do it, but we can lay up in store. Titus 3 and 13. Bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently. What that means is bring them on their journey. That means buy their food, pay for their lodging, take care of them on their journey so that nothing be wanting unto them. Don't make them pay for anything out of their pocket. Do a good work for them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. What that simply means is, We don't need to wait until the pastor says, let's bless the evangelist. Oh, I don't have anything this week. He said, do good works and lay aside. Lay some things aside so that when the poor man comes and says, man, have you got a few dollars for a cup of coffee? I know there's panhandlers and they don't need the money and all of that. But you can tell when somebody really has a need. And I try to err on the side of mercy. I won't pick up a hitchhiker. It's too dangerous. But if somebody comes and says, I have a need, I'll be the first one to open my wallet, take a bill out, and give it to them and say, God bless you. It doesn't matter to me if they're lying. It doesn't matter if they appreciate it or not. I'm just going to be zealous of good works. Amen. I'm not bragging on myself at all, but I've got a few dollars in my wallet. And Sister Wurst can tell you this is the truth. I don't spend any money on myself. I really don't. I spend very little money on myself. But every time I get a few dollars in my wallet, I just give it away. Amen. I just find somebody I can give it to, and I just give it away to them. I've got other money laid aside for my bills. I'm not giving my bill money to somebody. I'm not giving my rent money to somebody. I'm not giving my car payment to somebody or gasoline that I need in my car. It's the will of God for you to take care of yourself first. But then when you lay up in store, give it away. Amen. And give, and it shall be given unto you. And I found that the more I give, the more money comes back into my wallet. Amen. Well, I think I missed us here tonight. But he said, lay up in store for necessary uses. Amen. There is one place in the book of Acts where the church in Jerusalem took up an offering for another church because they had a need. Amen. I'm very thankful that we were able to send some money to Brother Riley's church. The church in Aransas Pass, Pastor Brother Riley, it's not his church. I didn't mean to say it that way. But their church was destroyed in a hurricane. And we're going to take some men down. We still haven't decided on a date, but we need to get that figured out. And we're going to spend a week down there or several days down there. And we're going to do whatever they need us to do. And we're just going to donate our time and our energy. And we sent them an offering, a generous offering to them, and said, use it any way you can. Give it to some of the saints. Because some of them lost their jobs, their businesses went out of business because of this hurricane. Just give it to them so they can live until they can find a job and get themselves on their feet. Amen. We need to be zealous of good works. Well, how could we send them any money? Amen. I'll tell you why. Because we have laid up some money in store. We're not waiting for the moment to say, wasn't there a dollar over there in the drawer somewhere? Oh, let me see if I got some change in my pocket. But I've got a feeling that when we work and we make our money, we feel like that we're supposed to spend all of our money. That our money is made to spend and spend it on ourselves. But folks, we are to be zealous of good works. Is this all right tonight? It'll bless you. It'll really bless you. Amen. To bless the work of God and to bless others. Amen. And you'll never fall short. You'll never fall short. And we should encourage one another to do good works. Hebrews 10 and 23. Sister Reed, would you come tonight? Hebrews 10 and 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Aren't you thankful he's faithful? He promised, if you give, it'll be given unto you. And he said, let us consider one another to provoke. Now, that doesn't mean look at one another and say, let's finish the scripture. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love. Everybody said love. And to good works. To good works. Let's consider one another. Provoke one another. Man, that was great what you did. That was awesome how you blessed that person. Provoke one another. That doesn't mean make them mad. That doesn't mean go up and say, How many dollars did you give away this week? Oh, I gave away more than you did. No, that's not what that's talking about tonight. But it's an encouragement to one another, an encouragement to do good works. Praise God. Where does it come from? It comes from grace. Amen. Our good works testify of the goodness of God that has come to us. Amen. What kind of a God do we serve if we're stingy people? What kind of grace did we receive if we'll only give so much and that's it? Thank God for His grace. And I'm telling you what tonight, the grace of God was like a mighty river that was flowing. Praise God. It was enough to cover my sins and your sins and the sins of the whole world. God gave freely. God so loved that He gave. Amen. And He gave everything that He had to us. Praise God. How can we withhold good works to bless others? May we walk in good works and be blessed by it. Amen. May it shine through us and shine through our lives. Amen. May our holiness, praise God, be enhanced. May our separation from the world be blessed even more and shine even more when it is coupled with good works. Amen. We're not walking around like we're better than other people because we dress different than they do. We don't have an attitude, I'm living right and you're not. We don't have an attitude that says, I can judge you if you haven't done what I think you should do, or maybe even what the Scripture says. Because folks, I'm telling you, we're all coming from a different place and we're all coming in different speeds. Well, praise the Lord. We need to be compassionate. You know why? Because God's compassionate. We need to have grace upon one another. You know why? Because God has had grace upon us. Well, praise the Lord. We should bless one another. Well, they don't deserve my blessing because they did this, that, or the other. Hey, listen, don't worry about what anybody else has done or they're going to do. Worry about what you're going to do. God bless me. Thank God He blessed me so much. And so I want to give the favor back, I guess, if you want to say it that way, and bless somebody else. Bless the Lord. Yes, I'm going to bless the work of the Lord, but I'm going to bless somebody else as well. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. Can we just lift our hands and thank Him right now? Come on, and let's thank Him. Let's really thank the Lord tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I lift You up. I praise Your name. I worship Your name. I give You honor. I give You praise and thanks tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Make me a blessing, Lord. Make me a blessing to someone. Use me as a blessing to someone. Let Your grace flow through me to somebody else. Oh, God, let it be the light that You put in me. Not my light, not my goodness, Your light and Your goodness. In Jesus' name tonight. In Jesus' name tonight. In Jesus' name tonight. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise together.